Hey there, everybody out in Radio Land. This is Keith Kennedy. You're listening to CITR 101.9. And this is the beginning of a fill-in show. Normally we have More Than Human at this time with Gareth. If you've been listening all night, you will recognize my voice because you just listened to Now We're Talking with Keith and Jeff. And we had a rip-roaring show there about inspiration. Feel free to look it up on the website or check it out from iTunes if you didn't get a chance. Really good show about the songs that inspired Jeff as a musician, primarily, and songs that inspired me in general, but also to do my writerings, because I'm a writer of writerings. So now we've got a fill-in show. We can do whatever we want. And Jeff said, hey, Keith, why don't you talk and do whatever you want? And... You're moving me? Sorry, we just had a private moment. So we're not sure what we're going to do on the fill-in show. Probably play some more songs. We're going to talk about some things that maybe we haven't gotten to in our regular show. And one of those things in particular that I want to talk about, I'm not sure if Jeff is interested in talking about it, is I've been watching these videos online. I went down the YouTube rabbit hole recently. And there are all these videos of something that I feel is close to my heart as a child. I have a nostalgia about the idea that there are people in the world, particularly old Asian men, who can do things like kung fu in a mystical and magical way. I loved believing that. I loved ninjas when I was a kid. I thought it was great, the idea that there's men who are so practiced at things that they can use their energy, their chi, if you will, to push people over, or win fights, or just in general make the world a better place because nobody has to really fight. There's an adage in martial arts that you learn it so that you don't have to use it. And there are videos that came out over the years of these masters of karate and kung fu using their chi to dominate the combat situations. So what I've been watching on YouTube as of late are videos that completely debunk the mysticism of these masters, and it is really, as you can hear in my voice, there's humor because it's really, really funny to watch these people get put in their place, but it also crushes me and the child I was. It really, really hurts the person who believed that you could knock somebody over or make them miss you or make them even not want to attack you with their chi. So, like I said, I don't know if Jeff's interested in talking about this or not. Well, and I have a moment to myself, I figured I'd get it in, because it's also not, it's not just that it's funny, it's a metaphor for a lot of things that are going on in the world right now in terms of misinformation, in terms of what we believe versus what we see, about facts and factual evidence and how important it is to tell the truth. And I'm telling you, man, there is nothing more truthy than watching an MMA fighter take down an old kung fu master who thinks he's going to stop that MMA fighter with a wave of his hand, and then watching that person get choked out by the reality that if you want to beat somebody up in a fight, you have to learn how to fight, and you have to practice fighting, and you have to practice real combat situations, and you can't do it any other way. I'm sorry, everybody. There's no shortcut. And this idea that you could just have some innate talent in you that's mystical and that could become something greater if you just pray enough or study enough, these sort of non-combat techniques, there seems to be proof, at least on YouTube and at least from the mouth of people like Joe Rogan, people affiliated with fighting and who have been their whole lives, that it's just not the case and that you need to practice. So let's apply that to everything. Let's say that's a good lesson for what Jeff and I pursue in our private lives, music, art of various kinds, writing. There is no replacement to putting your butt in the seat and practicing until everything hurts. Heart, mind, soul, body, fingers. That's how you get somewhere. And if you want to believe in the mysticism and you want to attach that to your nostalgia and it makes you happy, so be it. But don't let that replace work ethic. Because everybody who's made it will tell you they didn't make it overnight, no matter what it may seem like. They worked at it. And so don't be that guy. Don't be the old Asian man who thinks kung fu works that way. Be ready for the MMA fighter who will take you down and choke you out, because life has no other designs on you but to choke you out. Here's my Jeffy. Coming back there, buddy?
What's been going on in here?
Nothing.
Has there been a discussion about martial arts?
Not at all. No, I was just playing music while you were gone.
We have this opportunity to do a fill-in show right now. This is basically the after-hours show. Gareth, as you mentioned, usually does more than human at this time.
Yeah, I didn't mention. I don't know what you're talking about.
But this is the after-hours show. Get
Ooh,
it?
Ooh, after-hours.
Yeah,
because it's after-hours
show. Literally after-hours. And, you know, it's for us. We're doing 6 to 7.
So, after O-U-R-S.
This is, for us, is kind of after-hours. It's getting kind of late for us.
Yeah, we're old.
I mean, we did this show all through the winter, and it was dark out. And then finally, the sun shifted, and we got to the point in the last few weeks where we leave and the sun's out, but now it's getting dark again. This is after hours for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is the after hours show. And I was just filling out the playlist, the play sheet for our episode tonight of Now We're Talking. And I was focused on that. And I said, why don't you just, rather than just playing some random music on auto DJ, you know, we're into the hour here. Why don't you just host this, just go for it? And so I was out there. I was using the bathroom. I was filming.
You surprised me.
I was filming you for a bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what was going on, but it seemed like you were quite, you just went for it.
Yeah, well,
this is the first time you've ever done that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to do. I mean, I went through the process of saying what was going on, and then I had that moment when, you know, when you're performing and you have a moment where you go, oh, I have to say another line now. You're not quite sure what it is.
That's why I thought I'd just give you the ball and let you run with it, because you realize it's not, you know, it's totally doable, but you've got to just do it at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I was focused on other things, but I don't know what exactly was being discussed, but you sounded quite confident, so I think
you're in. Well, it's funny.
I
wouldn't have thought that it would be like a moment of fright, but when you threw it to me and then I got to that moment, that was definitely one of those like, oh, gotta push through this.
Yeah,
gotta remember that I can't just stop right now and think about
what
I'm gonna say.
Instantly figured it out, right?
Well, like, I just thought of a topic that I had.
Yeah, and you realize it's not really nothing to it. It's just kind of becoming aware of that fear of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we both have a lot of experiences with different things, and for me as a performer, I continue to have different, anytime you have a version of performing that's new, you're going to face that.
Yeah.
And the more times you face it, the more at least you know, okay, this is going to be the part where I'm going to be obsessed with failing.
Well, that's the
And I'm going to have to just plow through it and then quickly realize how much our mind just plays tricks on us. And we worry too much about
the wrong
things.
That was a great microcosm of that, was that singular moment. I mean, I don't know if you could hear it in Radio Land or if I'll hear it when I listen back.
Yeah.
Where there was a pause and I had that bubble of fear popped up.
Yeah.
And you either, you know, let it drown you or you bust it and go through.
That was my moment here after doing now 30 episodes of Now We're Talking, where I take the lead with the show. You know, I'm sitting here at the board, but we kind of discuss things mutually on the show. But that was my moment where I thought, oh, this is the chance for me to have the dad moment with Keith, where I'm holding the back seat of the bicycle and he's going to start riding and look over his shoulder and realize that I'm doing something on YouTube and I'm no longer holding the banana seat on the,
on
the bike.
I'm like, Dad, no!
So,
you betrayed me!
Yeah.
I'll never forget this moment. It'll scar me just for the rest of my life.
Completely traumatized.
Yeah.
But this is the fill-in show. We're just filling in this hour for Gareth, who we like, by the way. Let's talk about Gareth for a little bit.
Sure.
Let's do that, because I feel like for Gareth's show, not unlike our show, many of the regular listeners are likely podcast listeners. I say that for his show in particular because I feel like he has a listenership back in the UK and beyond. So I don't know to what extent there are listeners, radio listeners of his show that are saying, who are these jackasses? This is far, far, far from what we expect at 7 o'clock on a Sunday. If we're disappointing you, we do apologize. So let's temper that by discussing our affection for Gareth as a CITR colleague. Should we do that?
Sure.
Because I guess going right back to the beginning, he's done this show for years.
Yeah.
And right back to the beginning of us taking on our slot, he would have been here right after us.
Yep.
And
he's been a staple for us, especially in a situation where there's not always people here before.
Yeah.
He can sometimes be the only person we see.
Yeah, we oftentimes come here, there's nobody to be seen, and then 15 minutes before we finish our show, we see through the glass in the main lobby area of the station that he's prepping his show. And he's always been very good-natured and good-humored and, you know, projecting warmth and laughter at some of our efforts to make jokes.
Sure, yeah.
And it's funny because when we're getting out of here and he's getting in here, there's not a lot of time for chit-chat because we quickly need to get out of his way. He quickly needs to set up so we can start on time. So we always have these pleasant little exchanges. I think handing the torch.
Yeah, it's different, a little different for you because he's sort of your only physical audience in a way. He comes and sits in a spot behind me.
Yeah, I see him over your shoulder.
Exactly.
And you're looking at me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's true. It's one of the few times we do the show where I actually have some gauge of what it might be like for somebody to be noticing what we're doing or saying.
Right.
So it does mean a lot that he's not sitting there going, oh, God, please, not another joke about whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I had the chance to chat with Gareth for the first time at more length than what I just described. I think it was last week or the week before. No, I think it was last week. Because I finished the show a bit early. I finished like 15 minutes early.
Yeah, I was wondering.
I did a shorter episode. Yeah, I just felt like I didn't. I enjoyed doing that show, and I felt like I didn't need it to be an hour. I just needed it to be what it was. So that gave us this unique opportunity to
speak for a few minutes,
just to hang. And so he'd mentioned before he works in the film industry, but I hadn't really fleshed that one out. And when we were here last week, they were shooting like a Netflix pilot or something. So Jeremy Piven was up there.
Oh, cool.
And there was like 100 people. They're doing all these different crowd shots and he was doing a speech and all this stuff. So, you know, he was watching that with interest because that's his world, I guess. But yeah, he clarified for me that he's a first AD.
Oh.
So he's right in there. Like when he's shooting things, I guess, around Vancouver, I guess features and maybe TV shows and Netflix, like cable shows like Netflix. He's right in there as a first AD. And I kind of know, but I asked him to clarify what that is exactly. And he explained that it's basically like logistics guy, like making sure everything's flowing, happening on time. So he's well-versed at making things run smoothly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's a good example for us then in that regard.
Yeah, we talk a lot about films and you have a passion for films and I have a passion for films. And I'm sure he'd be an interesting... Maybe we should ask him to be a guest on our show one time.
Why not?
It's interesting how we thought, you know, about the possibility of having guests in it. When we first started doing the show, I thought, I'd like to have people in the studio, but it's so much easier for me to approach somebody with, hey, can I call you on the phone at your convenience, we'll have a conversation, and I'll edit it down.
Yeah.
Rather than, can you come to UBC specifically at 6 p.m. on a Sunday? It's a bigger ask, and it's been right in front of us the whole time. He's already coming. He's already coming for his show at 7.
We just have to convince him.
But of course, now that we're publicly putting it out there, that would be such a great thing, and we're doing it during his time slot. He's now put in the mortifying position. If he has no interest,
I never thought of
that. Coming in here and being like, oh,
like
my
those two jerks who would do their show before our show.
Like, he's like, oh, I guess I'll just maybe I'll give him 5 or 10 minutes. But
I'm sure there'll be some sort of polite out. Like, I can only show up then because I have a family or something.
It would be interesting, though. Hopefully that's not the case.
Maybe we should be using it this way to make him come on
the
show. Like,
exactly.
If you don't come on the show, you're a real jerk, pal.
Yeah, well, this is definitely the best way to kind of badger him into it, isn't it?
Wow, it's really turned.
Wow. So, yeah, if you regularly listen to CITR on Sundays between the hours of 7 and 8 p.m., you'll know this is typically Gareth's show, More Than Human. Sometimes he has a friend come in.
Yep.
Oftentimes he hosts the show alone. But yeah, we just did our show, so we've lived up to our end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just filling time. Got the email saying that they needed somebody to cover this hour because they didn't want to just play random music off auto DJ. And I said, yes, that is a challenge Keith and I are up for. We hosted the Fun Drive thing last Thursday. That was cool.
Yeah, went pretty well.
Or was it? Yeah, I did the show last Sunday, and a couple days before that, we did the final show of the Fun Drive, which, by the way, is still active until...
End of
the month. Yeah. So there's still 5 more days where donating can happen. And it's actually, I don't know if you noticed, Keith, but it's getting well close.
Didn't notice
to
the total.
To 40,000. Yeah, when we did that episode, it was hovering at like 27,000. Now it's at like 36,000 or something like that. So it really is on the cusp of hitting that mark.
Should we give the website out so people can donate?
Yeah, people should go to citr.ca. And see if you can go ahead and make a donation. But Keith and I did this for 2 full hours where we were pitching this to people, and so this is kind of reminiscent of that. But we're so close. Why not now make the choice?
Also, I think, I don't know if this is just a psychological thing, but I think you said this when we were on the Fun Drive there on Thursday, that we've hit our mark here for the last couple of years. Like, it's been like a $40,000...
Yes,
Mark.
It's exceeded, but the amount was less than the past.
Right, because I'm just thinking like it could be a bit of a defeat to our heart muscles if
you
we
and
don't
I?
Quite all of us here at CITR, the whole family, if we don't hit that 40,000. So
yeah, that's why you can't get too big for the bootstraps, you know.
Yeah, so I think what I want to get out in there in the minds of the Radioland listeners is if we get our hearts hurt by getting under this 40,000 mark, it's on you. Specifically you, whoever's listening right now.
Yeah, which is probably Gareth thinking, I should have actually gone in tonight.
Yeah, because they're messing this hour up.
They're going to lose me most of my radio listeners because those people are going to be under the misconception that Now We're Talking is expanded to 2 hours of trite drivel.
Look out.
Yeah. Drivel is not a word I would use. I think that when I'm thinking about Gareth, I'm thinking about the fact he's British, and I'm conjuring up vocabulary that I feel like would be British, like drivel.
Mm.
Doesn't it sound like something a British person would say?
I don't know if it does, but I did really like the combination of trite and drivel.
Thank you.
I think that's a little bit of poetry there.
I do have a large placard here. Written in Sharpie, I have
large placard.
I have both of these words, trite and drivel, used tonight in sentence.
Well, and I also know that when I gave you the magnetic poetry set for your fridge, that trite and drivel were both words in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because I got the trite drivel set.
Yeah, I got it for you specifically.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised to hear it, buddy.
It's not news to you.
Not to me.
So yeah, it's 7:20. We're 20 minutes into a 60-minute fill-in.
Really,
show?
Already 20 minutes?
It is. Well, I think you covered 5 or 10 minutes beautifully.
I have no, because it was a new experience. I had no idea. I lost track of time entirely.
I feel like whatever we do, let's make sure it's something radically different than what we usually do, so that we can experiment. So what we're doing now is kind of what we usually do. You and I talk, and
that's true.
Wackiness ensues.
What can we do that's different?
Yeah, what's different? I like this idea of you hosting. Maybe you know what? Let's open up the phone lines. Let's do
that. That's one thing for sure.
We haven't done that today. We haven't done that recently. Folks, if you're listening, for the love of God, give us a call at 604-822-2487. 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. We haven't taken a call in a while, man. That hasn't happened in a while. So why not give us a call? We'll put your ass on the air. And that's something that we can do.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I'm thinking maybe we can let you take the lead a little bit with this hour. I think that's we should revert to that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't ready for it, which is great in a way because I didn't have time to think about what I'd do.
Yeah, it makes it ideal.
What I'd be concerned about or how I could fail.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
What a beautiful thing.
What I don't want to do if I get the microphone, which I now seem
to
have.
You already have, yeah.
Is talk about politics.
Okay, well, that's good for me because I have no interest in
it. Going to avoid that completely. But what I would like to talk about is how we all deal with certain stresses.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's been hard for me lately is you were talking during our show about how you get your news. And we've talked about it multiple times on Now We're Talking. And I find that I'm really starting to have a problem with the fact that I sort of wake up and I go to Facebook because that's how I connect with some people, and it's also how I do some of my business. I post my blog, askyouanything.blogspot.com, if you're interested. I post that stuff on Facebook. And so I just get inundated with, you know, 8 or 10 headlines every morning. And that has never been a problem for me because, as you all know, Facebook and places like that kind of gather your information with their algorithms and sort of cater things to your particular needs. So for many years, I would wake up to pop culture stories or stories about soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. Things that are specific to me. But more and more in the last year or so, with all of the uproar in politics, it's just been like a lot of depressing stories. And so I have this new pattern. My daily work used to look like this. I would get out of bed, completely nude, which is important. I would go to my computer and turn it on. Then I'd go take a whizzle, and then I'd come back to the computer. I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't make coffee. I wouldn't think about anything but getting my butt in the seat. I wouldn't even take time to get dressed. Yes, all of those people out there who are fans of mine who don't know this yet, I do a lot of work while I'm naked. It's not because I need to be naked. It's because I'm too lazy, or let's say I'm too driven. Let's go with that route. I'm too driven. I need to get to the computer. I need to start working. So I used to get to the computer, turn on all the things I'd need, all the programs that open up Twitter and Facebook, all my businessy stuff, open my email, do my correspondence, write my blog, write my creative work, which is usually a book. Not one book in one day. That's a little much, but some of a book. And then I do some editing. That's sort of how my workday goes. But now I'm having to deal with the fact that because of, let's say, in quotations, politics, or just the way news works now, I have to get depressed first. I have to be slapped in the face with the idea that there's bad stuff. And then I have to overcome that. And it's frustrating for me because what I often need to do right away in the morning is be funny because I need to write my blog. And I've been trying to figure out ways to sort of deal with that stress. The stress of I'm a human being on this planet and I have certain thoughts and feelings about how things should go and how much pain and damage I want to exist. And I have to sort of balance that with trying to get my work done. I think it's a struggle that we all have. I'm hoping that people can connect to this idea that we're all struggling with our own stresses. And I'm just sort of thinking like, it feels like an external stress. And I'm wondering, is that a valid reason maybe to get off social media? Should I maybe be more in control of what I do? And Jeff, you yourself, you mentioned that you actively look at a couple of places. You say, I'm going to go to Huffington Post or I'm going to go to this place. You get a few headlines.
Used to.
I'm wondering if maybe I should change the way I'm doing this because I've inserted this negative thing in my life.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. For me, it's cut and dry. And it's hard for me to separate with certainty between some of the depression I experienced and the avoidance and non-participation in the world versus what I perceive to be the legitimate decision to take a big step away from that treadmill of being on social media. For me, you know, recently I've been using Instagram.
Oh, I love Instagram.
It's like Instagram, but there's more letters.
Yeah, it's the best one. It's the best letters, too. It's another T.
And an N.
And an N.
I've been really enjoying that. For me, I think that's helping me see that, for me, I stand by this thing where Facebook can suck it because I've been playing music recently. And because I've been gigging recently, I don't know. I don't know when this happened, but in my mind, Instagram was always pictures. At some point, I guess videos became a possibility. And at some point, they didn't have to be square videos. You could take any video and you can have it so that it's like the aspect ratio is what you're accustomed to, the letterbox or whatever. And in my mind, also, Instagram is like, if you shoot a video, then that I instantly put on Instagram. At some point, that shifted, and I just became aware of this, where, no, I can take any given video that I have, and I can put it into my Dropbox, let's say, from my computer, and then from my Dropbox on my phone, and because you have to upload from your phone with Instagram, right?
Right.
And then I can upload it, and this just opened up a whole can, like a good can of worms. As far as, man, any video that matters to me that's related to me playing music, I can archive here. Like, nope, I've never enjoyed my YouTube channel because I hate how, to me, it's kind of like almost like MySpace and how terrible it looks. Vimeo is much better, but I feel like people don't really use that. Facebook is where you're supposed to post things, but I guess you can either post the video onto Facebook or onto YouTube and link it. It's never quite felt clean to me. And I'm really enjoying every day, just like you do your blog, every day I make sure I'm putting up a video, sometimes an image, but like I put up a couple images for the show logo for Now We're Talking, as well as a picture I took of you a couple weeks ago. So I'm trying that too, but really the emphasis is on videos. And I'm enjoying every day I put up a video. And that way I engage with people that I know that have been wondering what's been up with me, because sometimes, you know, if you're not connected in that way, there's certain people at a certain level of acquaintanceship, they'll be like, whatever happened to Jeff? So that's happening. But it's not Facebook where I'm like finding out people's opinions about Paul. Like, I just don't care. I really don't care. Maybe that'll change, but I just don't care. For me, it's like I get in and I get out. So my time on Instagram in a given day is 5 minutes max, like in terms of posting, in terms of seeing if somebody liked a thing or whatever, 5 minutes for the whole day. And I couldn't care less what articles people are resharing or what they're eating. I don't care about any of that shit, man. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Yeah, it's tough. I have this sense that I need it for business. There's this thing in my world called a writer's platform. And
By the way, on Instagram today, I did link to your Instagram.
Oh, cool.
Because I put up a picture of you.
Oh, the one
that
from
I mentioned.
When you but took of course, a picture of me like one of your French girls.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. With the charcoal likeness. But of course, when it went to your thing, I thought the only problem is that Keith has... A lot of people fall in this category. They've got their Instagram account, they've got their name, but there's no posting.
Yeah, I have done nothing.
So if you're saying that you must have Facebook theoretically for your career, well, I'm telling you, then you must try at least Instagram because I think that people like it better.
Yeah, I kind of got put in a bit of a limbo there because I was having trouble with Facebook, and so I started an Instagram account. And before I could sort of commit to the Instagram account, I got Facebook back, and I just ended up ignoring the Instagram thing. So I kind of set myself up to look like a moron by creating an account and doing nothing with it. It was just a timing issue.
I shot some footage earlier when you were hosting the show by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
With thinking maybe I can text this video to Keith.
Oh, cool.
And he can put it onto his Instagram.
Yeah, I do. I need to look into it for sure. And it sort of vibes with what I'm talking about here, which is this writer's platform thing. So when you're trying to be a professional writer of lengthy prose, some people call it novels, I guess.
Bastards. Sons of bitches.
See, this is what happens. If I'm hosting, you get to interject these little things.
I like it, right? I like it.
Anyway, when you get to a certain point with an agency or a publisher, they go, well, what's your writer's platform? And what they're asking is, what's your presence in the world? How much can you, before we ever jump in and help you with our money, how much can you and your presence in the world help you sell books?
Yeah.
And so having a Facebook presence or having a website, which is actually, now that I'm hosting the show, here's an opportunity for me to say, I have a website. I have a Weebly website. I chose Weebly after a lot of hard work. I never committed to...
I like Weebly.
Yeah, I never committed to paying for it, though, because I didn't get it to the part I wanted to, and also I'm cheap. But if you want to check out some of my writings, it's keithkennedy.weebly.com right now, and if that changes, I'll let you know. It's kind of a beta, I think is the word they use for it, website. There's just a sample of what it would look like if I was any good at this sort of thing. But the point is, I'm trying to build my writer's platform, and because I'm trying to build it, this aversion I'm developing to Facebook is counterpoint to that. What they really want for me is to have lots of people following me on Facebook and for me to be on it on a regular basis and to be tweeting on Twitter. That's what they want to hear. So when they go, what's your writer's platform? And your answer is, I kind of bailed on some of these things. That can look bad. So I feel a little bit trapped. And yet, what's the point of letting the stress of it affect my ability to work and be funny and be happy? I mean, I need my product to stay above a certain point. I need to be good at what I do. I need to be happy to do it. So I think I'm going to have to make a few changes. Maybe embracing Instagram is a good path.
I would love it if the change was you deciding F Facebook. I'm just going to go balls
deep on Instagram.
It's
tough because a lot of my exposure to my blog comes through. A lot of people go connect to my blog through Facebook. Yeah, that's askkeithanything.blogspot.com. I love how as soon as you gave me a chance to host, it's just me plugging myself.
Yeah, well, of course it is.
Right? Plug it. That doesn't sound good on the radio, does it?
Plug it. It sounds just fine.
I'm
going
to plug it all I want.
I like it.
Let me see. What else do I want to talk about now that I've got the microphone?
Yeah, you've got the conch.
I love that reference. You've got the conch. That is a Lord of the Flies reference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. You guys have read Lord of the Flies out there? They don't answer you when you talk to them, do they?
Well, unless they call 604-UBC-CITR if you're driving. But if you're not driving, it's 604-822-2487. You can call either number. It's the same number. But if you're driving, it's easier to remember...
The letters.
The letters.
Yeah. Yeah, give us a call. I mean, I'm willing to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to talk about that we never got a chance to is, you know, when we had that big weather here in the winter?
Snow?
Yeah.
In February?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Because that's when I came back to Vancouver and I thought, what is this? What's going on here?
It was crazy, right?
Yeah.
I got like snowed in.
What do you mean you got snowed
in? I got snowed in. Like, I didn't even know that happened in the West Coast. For those who don't know, or those who are regular, not this show listeners, I'm from Newfoundland originally, from the East Coast, and so we have a lot of snow there. But I left when I was about 13, so I'm not the best snow guy. I kind of act like I'm a Newfie in a lot of ways, but I don't have the accent. I don't know how to drive in the snow. I don't know how to deal with snow. I don't sled.
And those are a lot of the key elements, I think, of being a Newfie. Isn't
if you're
it?
A Newfie and you don't sled.
Wow.
Maybe tobogganing. Maybe I toboggan a little bit. I'm starting to get comfortable here.
Good.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
It could be dangerous.
Oh, no. Look at me. Look at my shoulders.
Yeah, they're kind of rolling them back. They're going side to side. I knew this would happen. I'm not surprised at all.
So the whole story comes down to I was trying to go to hockey one morning. I play hockey a couple times a week. And I didn't have a snow shovel to help me get out of my snowed-in situation. Because why would I have a snow shovel? Why would I have any sort of shovel, Jeff?
In case you get snowed in.
Yeah. I mean, if I have to bury a body, perhaps. But as we both know, I've never done that, to anyone's knowledge. So
never
I don't
know
have.
When you have to.
And, by the way, the shovel you use to bury a body in your backyard is not the kind of shovel that works good on snow. How I would know that?
Two
not important.
Shovels. Two different shovels. How you would know that was from the time that you almost had to bury a guy in the snow.
Yeah, and it was, I think, it's more spade-like, the shovel that you use for digging up a garden and tucking a corpse in it. The point I'm trying to make is that I didn't have a snow shovel. I do. I am enough of a newfie that I have a scraper. But if you recall, the weather was so bad here and we got so much snow that it piled up and created a layer of ice. People out there who come from snowy places know what this is. If you don't take the snow off your car after a couple of days, it piles up and piles up, and then it freezes onto your car. So it was so bad that I couldn't use the snow scraper to get it off. And I didn't have a shovel. And I had to be somewhere. I had to score hat tricks and smoke mopes because it was hockey day, man. And so instead of giving up, I had to take my hockey stick to the problem. And so I took, for about an hour, I beat the crap out of my car with a hockey stick. Jeez. And I guess the moral of this story...
This is just in like a couple hours? There's that much snow from when you're playing hockey?
Well, no, it was like we had a bunch of snow over a period of time, and I had driven... Oh, I hadn't driven the car because it was snowing, and I don't know how to drive in the snow. So this car had sat there since the previous hockey day, which... So from Thursday to Tuesday.
How'd you get home?
No. This was at my house.
Oh,
I was snowed in at home.
I'm sorry. I was imagining.
I should have been clear. This is my fault.
I thought you were at the arena. No, it's because
I got too comfortable, man. That's what happened.
No, I think you're
doing great.
This is what happens. It's just I got too comfortable checking out our web presence.
Nice. So I'm snowed in at home.
Oh,
I'm trying to get to hockey.
Sat there for
the car's
days.
Been sat there for 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
It's got crazy icy. And so I'm hacking at it. And what I was going to say is the moral of the story is if you ever want to feel like a Canadian, if you ever think, gee, I live in Canada, but I don't know if I experience being Canadian on a level similar to other people. I know there's lumberjacks and hockey players and people who drink lots of Caesars, and they all understand being Canadian, but I don't quite get it. I recommend beating the crap out of your own car with a hockey stick because you're snowed in trying to get to hockey. If there can be a beaver nearby, I recommend that as well. If there's maple syrup, that's good too. But boy, did I feel like a Canadian. And I was laughing. People would walk by me and not know what I was doing. But I thought, this is the greatest thing I could be doing. I'm using the next best tool that a Canadian would have in their house.
That is, I'm sure for a lot of people around the world, that would be a very classic, stereotypical Canadian image. Using a hockey stick to cope with snow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I did get out, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot about how I don't know much about snow because I had to dig my car out. And what I did, and this might be not just about not being good with snow. This might be about a human male not being good at stuff in general and being kind of stupid. Because what I did was I dug out the front of my car. So imagine a street, and we're all parked on the sides of the street, parallel park style. So you got a couple of feet in front, a couple of feet in back. I had a bit more in front, so that was the choice. We're going out front-wise. So I took a lot of time hockey-sticking the snow, probably about 2 feet of snow, away from the front of my car. And I thought, not just the front, I'm not that much of a moron. I also moved the snow away from the left tire. Because I thought, I'll just pull out of here and go a little bit to the left. Man, did it take me a long time. I'd say about 20 minutes before I realized that my back tires were getting caught in the snow when I was trying to turn out. And I would like rev the car.
From the snow pile that you created?
From the snow pile. Well, it already existed, but the pile I created wasn't helping either, of course. So it took me a long time to realize that to get out of that situation, I had to clear out the whole side of the car. And it was the back tires that needed to come out free. So I was like revving the car like super hard, probably doing it some damage. People were
out
asking.
Out of frustration?
People were asking, well, I just thought if I gunned it, I'd get out.
Right.
That's a good theory. Yeah. Lots of smart people do that.
Yeah.
If you're playing pool
and
you can't line up a
spinning?
Shot, you just hit it hard. Right?
Yeah,
that's how good things happen.
And were the wheels spinning out?
Yeah.
Oh,
here's
yeah.
another analogy. If your marriage isn't working, have a baby. It's just giving her, you know?
Right.
You just
go
don't
for it.
Think, go for it.
Yeah, hit
so,
it hard.
Yeah, so I was hitting it as hard as I could, and I wasn't getting anywhere.
And so how did you ultimately get out?
Well, I just had to dig out for longer and further, and I had to learn lessons, hard lessons that nobody wants to learn about snow and stick shoveling.
That really is a disgrace to the newfie community.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Because the amount of snow we get here, I imagine, is a paltry sum.
Yeah. Maybe not this year, but in general, yeah, of course. And so, it's funny because I even remember when I was younger and I'm trying to sort of find my identity. And there was a period of time when I was sort of made fun of for being a newfie. Not bad. People weren't too bad out here. But on the West Coast, I was an anomaly, at least for a year or so. And so I used to try to take that on board. Like, well, I'm a Newfie. I know Newfie stuff. I can walk on ice. I just made that one up. I can drive in the snow in theory. I just had to be part of who I was. And now as an adult, I'm realizing now that I don't need that false identity. And now that I have some actual self-confidence.
You realize it's not your identity.
I realize that I'm not much of a Newfie at all. I don't screech and I don't kiss fish.
Maybe you can embrace being a Vancouverite who's just... try some makeshift solution.
Yeah, that sounds more like me.
Doesn't really know what's going on. Might be a better fit.
Yeah. And weather was bad this year, man. I don't talk about the weather and it's boring, but that was my big deep snow.
Just that one week in particular, or generally it was bad? I mean, that week in particular was
we had three or four big snowfalls. Big for us, right? No, it was bad. It was a bad year.
Folks, at this time, you're usually listening to Gareth spin some mad beats, some sweet, sick tunes. I don't know if that's the right way to characterize it. I'm not very good at that kind of thing, but
he
plays good music that you enjoy. But tonight, Keith and I, who hosted our show from 6 to 7, called Now We're Talking, we're hosting the After Hours show. And it's just a freaking free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all. It's a Keith-for-all, almost.
Yeah, it's a Keith-for-all. It's a Keith for all, and why not give Keith a call?
Yeah,
give Keith a call on the free for all.
Keith for all, free for all.
Keith for all,
or what we calling it? After hours, the after hours show, as in after our show was over.
After our show is over, we do the after hours show.
Yeah, you got something else? Or you want me to keep going?
Keep going, but just I want to keep putting on there. Give us a call 604-UBC-CITR.
Cool. There's something. This is really short, and hopefully you laugh at it and validate it.
Okay.
My wife is a super genius, but she keeps it under wraps. You know, she's not an outgoing person per se.
Yep, she's almost like a superhero.
She's almost like a superhero. Yeah, yeah. She's mild mannered,
hiding in plain sight.
She actually calls herself Mousy. She has on occasion. She thinks she's Mousy.
Okay,
she's not the kind of girl who worries too much about makeup and shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. Many girls do that. I don't even know how many girls do that. Maybe that's a stereotype, but she doesn't.
A couple girls.
In particular, she doesn't. But she's very smart and she's funny. And she said a very funny thing. And it's so funny. You ever have this happen, Jeff, where something's so funny that you almost can't laugh?
Because
it's
just
so
like,
smart?
What? Of course, yeah.
So she had one of these. I'm going to share it, even though it's not a mainstream kind of joke that people are necessarily going to appreciate immediately. But I wanted to share it because this is a little bit of a glimpse into my life. Because people who meet Nancy will find that she's kind and she's affable. And she's a bit quiet, but she's likable too. And I don't think people necessarily would think of her as a kind of person to say very smart, scathing things. But I live in a different world with Nancy McLean. I live in a world where she... blows my mind with this stuff on a more regular basis.
Yep.
So what it was something called Darwin Day. And Nancy in particular is a Darwin fan. We even have Origin of Species on our bookshelf, which you might not think is a big deal, but that's not an easy read. So there was a hashtag called Darwin Day floating around. This was like probably maybe a month ago. I don't even know when this was. And I turned to her to tell her this because she's a Darwin fan. And I said, hey, do you know it's Charles Darwin's birthday today? He was born in 1809. And without a single second of thought, she turned to me and said, yeah, but he wasn't born. He was created. Right?
Reference.
See it?
I do.
Anyone out there who doesn't see it, I don't know what to do for you.
Didn't miss a beat.
But holy goodness, is that smart.
That turns you on, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because you're already sexually attracted to your wife.
Yes, very much so.
And
like a way that we shouldn't talk about on the radio.
Yeah.
It's awful.
And you enjoy her in a multitude of ways.
Yes.
But is there anything sexier than intelligence?
Hell no.
Especially for somebody like you.
Yeah, and Nancy's the kind of person who... one of the things I love about her the most is that she, like me, puts humor above all things, maybe even to our detriment. There's times when I put humor too far above other things and sometimes where I'm maybe not as compassionate as I should be because I'm willing to accept that if you're trying to make a joke, I believe that you're coming from a good place. There's some lessons to be learned in that, and it's not always the case, but she's similar. She thinks a joke. And so sometimes she'll do very much what you would classify as a too soon kind of situation. She'll make a joke way sooner than you were comfortable with. And I'm the kind of person, as you know, who doesn't buy into a lot of that stuff. I'll probably make a joke quicker than most people about something that's could be touchy. But she's like a 24-hour ahead of me kind of person. She will, just like this Darwin thing, hear something horrible has happened and come up with the most scathing thing within 5 seconds that you should not be saying out loud, especially around anyone who could have their feelings hurt. But I love it. It's great. It's very impressive.
Do you think she's listening right now?
I'm not sure if she is.
We should get her to call.
Yeah, she could call.
She called
wants.
The show once. Was it once? Once yeah. In particular comes to mind.
Yeah, she did call once.
And that was quite some time ago. I think she's due for another call.
Yeah, she's a funny little bird because she was really great when she called in. And yet I asked her that. I was like, oh, this is cool. You could call in on a regular basis. And she was like, no. Like it was a scary thing
what
for
do you
her.
Think? Should we reach out to her and ask her to call or what do you
Sure, I'm not sure. I talked to her just in between shows here. Yeah. And she said she might, because she missed the first show this week, she thought she might listen a little bit.
Well, how about if you think it's a good idea, how about I'll talk to the audience for a couple minutes. And you encourage her to call. Folks, you're listening to The Fill-In Show. This is Jeff Bryant filling in alongside Keith Kennedy. Keith's actually been taking the lead tonight as I've been doing all sorts of things I never get to do with the Now We're Talking show. I went to use the bathroom. I went to the lobby. I even went outside the station and I filmed some footage of Keith in here by himself hosting the show. I've been updating some of the social networking stuff for the show, the Twitter account. That's really the main thing that I maintain, of course. We've got the CITR website, and that's a given, but also the Twitter. Like to do the Twitter. Keith Kennedy has been hosting the show, and right now he's calling his wife. He's speaking to his wife as we speak and clarifying, honey, would you be inclined to call into the show? I know that we're talking right now on the phone together, but how do you feel about a conversation being broadcast to the world? And by the world, I mean some members of the world, surely. She's called him before. I think it's been a few months. She called him before. We had a good conversation. We hope she does it again. We're covering for Gareth Moses, his show More Than Human, which airs pretty much every Sunday from 7 to 8. He's not here this evening, but we're happy to cover for Gareth. And we were even speculating, I wonder what it would be like to get Gareth, seeing as he comes here early to prepare for his show, to invite him in and to join us for Now We're Talking and maybe to tell us a little bit more about his life. We'd like to learn more about the man. Why not learn more about him in the context of chatting with him on the air? Why not? He's already here. But we also talked about how maybe we're kind of painting him into a corner and forcing him to do something he doesn't want to do. Keith is back. Keith, I'm curious, were you speaking to Nancy?
I did speak to her.
And I was saying that Keith is talking to his wife right now. He's saying, honey, we're talking now on the phone.
Yeah.
What if we took this on the air? What'd she say?
Well, I asked her, first of all, if she was, in fact, listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had been listening to it.
Oh, she had.
Until she went to bed.
Oh. So you woke her up?
I didn't wake her up, but she had committed. She'd given up on life and things and had committed to going to bed.
Right.
So she said, go F yourself.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that adorable?
That's so sweet. That's almost as sexy as the intelligence thing.
Yeah, she'll lay an F-bomb in a big pudding, just like doesn't care. Oh. She'll splash that pudding everywhere. That's a horrible phrase I just said.
Oh, it's horrible imagery.
Don't splash the pudding, people. Don't listen to Keith and Jeff. Maybe I shouldn't give you any credit for that horrible phrase I just said.
No, don't include me in that.
Jeff told me to say it.
Keith
yeah,
is
buddy.
Not going to be talking to his wife on the air this time, but maybe another fill-in
but
show.
But don't worry. She's a horrible person, and it wouldn't have been good.
Well, it's a relief then.
Yeah.
Keith, we've got a good 10 minutes. I'm speaking as if I'm hosting the show, but you're hosting the show. So
yeah, you're listening
maybe,
to CIT.
Maybe, why don't we turn the tables and try to reverse roles here?
Okay.
You host, and you know, I can either just sit here and be your hype man, or you can ask me questions.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask you a few questions.
Or whatever you're feeling.
Well,
I'm
there's some stuff that I've been wanting to talk about with you, specifically, that we haven't gotten to on the show.
This could be our chance.
So did you do the call sign and everything while I was out? I wasn't listening.
I did.
Okay, so we're all caught up on that? So you basically just stole my hosting gig and did the hosting
stuff.
Well,
but you know, it never hurts to say it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it again, though.
He's not going to say it.
Just to be spiteful.
Refuses.
Spite. You know what's funny about getting comfortable? What I noticed, and I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, as we've discussed before, and one of the ones I listen to is Bill Burr, who mm-hmm. does it all by himself for the most part.
Yep.
And what I realized, though I've never done the show myself, one of the lessons I took from him was that, a couple lessons from him, because he's a really intelligent guy, and he is really likable and really smart. And one of the things that he does is he's very self-deprecating. He'll go off on a rant and then make it very clear he has no idea what he's talking about, which I find very lovable. But also, he doesn't mind silence. You know, that's the key to probably hosting a show. For someone like, maybe you have a very natural affinity for it. You seem like you do, Jeff. I don't know that I do, but a good lesson for me from Bill Burr is it's okay sometimes for there to be a little bit of a pause.
Or even quite a bit of a pause.
Or even, and then we walk out and then we don't ever do anything else.
Yeah, and then we get a bunch of bricks, like in a wagon.
Okay.
And then whatever that material is, like a paste, something. And we use
brick
it.
Brick sticker.
A brick sticking putty. And we use it to fashion a brick wall so that it's very difficult to get back in here.
For anybody to ever make any noise again.
We could create hours.
Just the furthest extent the joke could possibly go.
And we'd have to do it very silently as well, because the whole point is we want dead air. And if you could hear us fashioning this brick wall out of bricks and putty, that wouldn't be dead air.
Right.
So we'd have to do it very quietly.
I love how we went like the steps of a joke. We're like, jokes are funny in threes, so we do like one step. Yeah. This is a little pause. Two steps is a longer pause.
Yeah.
And then like silence for everyone forever is the next logical step because we're not going to get another shot of that joke.
Yeah. So just describe what that would look like. It's interesting to find the sweet spot in terms of pausing, because there is a point at which it literally is dead air. But what is that point? So let's experiment with that. So here I am speaking right now, and we're going to try to see if we can collect our thoughts. And it's really kind of a question of, well, let me think. Yeah, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, that wasn't so bad.
But if it was like, you know, sometimes I feel like, what's the word for it?
Yeah, that's too long.
No, it wasn't too long. That was fine.
It wasn't?
You saved it. You saved it. You've prevented it from being too long.
Oh, good for me.
Too long would be more like something like, oh, I don't know. Right there.
There it is.
It's right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's right there.
I felt it that time.
I jumped right in, right when I felt it.
Oh, boy.
That's how it works.
We're through the looking glass. This is a fill-in show, by the way, everybody.
Yeah.
Keith and Jeffy doing the fill-in show, After Hours, without the H. That's After Hours, is an after-hour show. We came up with a cool title. We may never get to use it again, because this is usually when Gareth is on.
Yeah.
Doing More Than Human.
More Than Human.
A great show. One of the great shows of CITR.
True.
And
and long-standing shows.
Yeah,
also.
Good. Long-standing. Great word, long-standing.
Thank you.
So I think he'll be back next week. I'm not sure about that, but he usually is here.
I would be worried if he wasn't,
but for this week, you're just dealing with the last, I don't know, 7 or so minutes with Keith and Jeff doing the fill-in show. There's a thing I saw on, this is actually a
Do you want to try switching seats? Or are you good there?
I could try it.
I just thought if we're...
But then I can't I don't know how to control the board.
You don't have to. But I'm thinking if we're switching everything, why not just see what it's like to switch this too?
Oh, this is going to be weird. Well, hold on a second,
Speaking
everyone.
Of dead air. You know?
Oh, I see.
I figure if we're going to switch roles, we should switch seats.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Oh, I kind of like sitting here, actually.
Wait a second. I'm just going to do a little dance.
Oh, it's very casual to sit on this side of the desk.
My friend Anthony out there, who's a regular listener, will know the dance I'm doing right now is the blue-eyed soul dance I do when I hear like a Hall & Oates song and my shoulders
together.
Get kind of high and I kind of groove in like this old man at a wedding sort of way.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I have to say, it is very casual on this side of the desk. I'm noticing I'm cross-legged.
Yeah, you struck a casual pose.
And I've even
instantly.
Got like my leg up against the top of the desk. Very casual. I can look out at the Student Union building, the main atrium area. If I want to, I can also look out into the lobby. I can look at you. You kind of more focused at me, but I've got the 1-2-3 thing here.
Yeah.
I've got the lobby, the atrium, and you. I'm taking it all in.
I'm noticing that it's a lot more stuff in my face here.
Yeah, there's a lot of gear over there. Yeah. Lots of stuff to distract you.
A lot of stuff.
But I'm loving this. I feel like I'm a guest on your show. Let's actually go through the motions here, Keith. And why don't you introduce the Keith Show?
Okay.
And welcome me to your show, and
interview
me.
What's the name of the Keith Show, I wonder?
I don't know. I think that you're on the right track.
Oh, geez. There's got to be a pun or something. You must not know about Keith. No, that's no good. Oh, there's something here. It's like a Keith for all. Oh, that's not quite right. Let's just call it the Keith Show for now so we don't have too much dead air. Sound good? Welcome to the Keith Show, everybody. Where we talk in subtler tones. Jeff's making a funny face. We're here on CITR 101.9. You know the drill. You're probably on campus. If you're not, this is a college radio show, a college radio station. I'm here with my long-standing friend, Jeff Bryant. Jeff Bryant, say hello.
In a seated position, I'll point out as well. Long-standing, but currently seated.
Uh-huh. Much less time spent sitting.
Yes.
Especially in that seat, because that's my seat. buddy.
Not anymore. Not in this context. We're in a whole other universe right now where this is the Keith show, and I'm a guest on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I have to say, it feels really cool to come to a radio station and to be a guest on a show. I've had this experience before, but not in some time. And I feel very relaxed right now. Yeah, so thanks good. For having
me. Now you know how it feels to be on the other side of the board.
I like it. I like how it feels. Yeah. I prefer it maybe in a way.
Right.
So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess we could switch it around, but then I have to learn things. And if you don't know, for Now We're Talking, Jeff is the host of our regular show. And he is also the producer of that show because this is a college radio station. We don't have a producer here. So Jeff has to work all the knobs and whistles. I don't know what these things are.
Not something I would say I'm uncomfortable with.
No, Jeff can work a few knobs. He's been known to in the past.
I've done it many times before, yeah. So it's nothing new. What?
Wow, you really are comfortable in the
I like
chair.
It. I like it because all that I'm focused on is just sitting in a comfortable position.
Yeah.
And waiting for you to ask
me
a question.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is I was joking about having a subtler voice, but it is something that happened. Like, there's something psychological where I went, oh, no, I'm hosting. So this is my version, talking like this, is my version of a radio voice.
Yeah.
And I don't do that when I'm in that seat because I'm just your co-host, in theory, or whatever you want to call it, guest, helper, monkey.
I just feel I feel relaxed when we do the show generally, but right now I feel like I'm coming into a radio station. Keith is hosting a show. I'm a guest on it. And I'm just waiting for the questions
to
happen.
I'm feeling like double pressure because not only am I hosting this show, but I'm thinking when we do our regular show, you're so relaxed over there. I have no excuse not to be brilliant next time we do the regular show.
That's true enough.
All right.
How are we doing for time?
I don't know how you even check that. So.
Yeah, let's see if you can see it somewhere.
I'll just make a noise while I'm doing it.
Okay, there it is.
Nowhere. Clock. It says, is that 1955? Is that it?
That sounds about right.
Is that real?
So would you like to ask me any questions?
I certainly would like to ask you some questions, Jeff. because you're the guest and I brought you on my show to ask you questions.
Thank you.
Not just to have you listen to me.
Talk about not asking me questions.
So how's the new gigs, man? You're doing gigs now.
Yeah, it feels good. It's what can I say? As I've alluded to before when we've talked about this, I really had like a year and a half period where not a menstrual cycle.
No.
I've had
an awfully long
that
period.
Is too long. I mean, really, at
if
least.
You're going to slough off your insides.
Good news, briefly. You're not pregnant. Bad news.
You're not pregnant for
a lot
year
of
and
hormones.
A half.
You know what I mean? But it's been a year and a half of me, I don't know, not feeling comfortable playing music or doing any number of things. So how does it feel? It feels like a relief. I think when I came back to Vancouver at the beginning of February, I felt really nervous about coming back and trying to fix my life. And same thing here. I felt really nervous about doing these gigs because I didn't know what would happen. But I also had enough presence of mind to just kind of work through it and be patient. So I had a couple gigs in Whistler the last 2 weeks. And, you know, I did everything that needed to be done. I got the gear. I took the gear there. I met the people. I plugged the things in. But I was just really conscious of not screwing up as opposed to, I'm going to have such a great time. But once I started not screwing up, over the course of the evening, because I did 3 sets, by the end of it, I was able to move beyond that. So it just feels like a relief.
That's great, man.
Thank you.
That's great. And I relate to what you're saying about that fear when you're performing.
Yeah.
That you're going to mess it up. But you just, like we talked about earlier, you just sort of fight through that and it all comes back. It's like riding a bike. And I know there was times last year where you probably wouldn't have thought that gigging, playing your own music, playing any music would have felt like riding a bike. But turns out there's an element of that.
Yeah, it was just, just generally I've just found living life really hard for like over a year. So certainly when you're the focus of attention like that, you're just more accountable for presenting in a certain way, but thankfully it really is just a relief. Once I get rolling, I realize, like I said before, oftentimes these things that are in your head get so magnified, and the only way is through. So by doing it, I just kind of realize that I'm blowing the fear way out of proportion. The good news is I know what to do. Just do it, and then you can just enjoy it. This is great. I love this. I'm enjoying being a guest on the Keith Show.
Yeah, because we've talked a few times in the past about how there are different elements to our positions on the show. Not only do you have some responsibilities here, but there's something about hosting a show where you feel like you can't necessarily let it all go. You're always thinking of something and tracking something.
Yeah, you're keeping track of time. You're making sure everything sounds appropriate, sounds correct technically. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a lot of hats. Right now, I don't even have a hat on.
No.
I'm just a guy sitting extreme. Like, the way I'm sitting right now, I'm not cross-legged all the way. I've got one foot sort of resting on my other knee. I've got the thing where you got the two hands, the fingers
interlaced
yeah. supporting the knee, kind of leaning against the desk, and just feeling like cool as a cucumber here. So next question, please.
Well, we talked about the gigs.
Gigs, yeah.
What else has been going on in your life that you think would be radio interesting, man? Because I mean, this is the thing I don't know about hosting. Like, I'm not sure what the good areas to talk about or the bad. This is another thing you do very well. You sort of find what you think I'll talk about that's well. Is there something maybe that you experienced in the gigs? I know you went up to Whistler with your dad.
That was good, yeah.
Is that good. Something you'd like to talk about?
Sure, it was a good excuse. I did the first... It's two gigs in 2 weeks, the same gig in Whistler. So I did the first one just to see what the deal was. And once I knew what the deal was, I thought... Oh, this is a good opportunity for me to invite my dad to come over from Victoria. Give us a chance to spend some time together. Last time I saw him, I went to Victoria for his birthday. And Whistler's beautiful. People come from around the world to go there. And I've got staying in a nice hotel. So why not invite him to come over and enjoy the amenities and take the opportunity to kind of celebrate this experience that I'm having of just like I had to sort it myself out with my physical health. Now I'm sorting myself out with my
this
artistic
renaissance.
Yeah. It was kind of worthy of celebration. So I just wanted to share it with somebody who's been very supportive.
Great. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear you're doing better. And your dad's always been, do you remember the time that your dad pulled us over?
You and I?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe
there was a time when you were driving me home.
Just the two of us?
Yeah, it was just the two of us.
Okay, interesting.
It was romantic.
Oh wow!
And you were driving me home, and right down Luley Street in Victoria.
Yeah,
where I used to live.
Uh-huh.
And, we got
was it late or?
I don't think it was. I think it was like our afternoon or something.
Oh, okay, daytime.
Not really relevant to the thing, but I think it was a surprise. Whatever the time of day was, it wasn't the time of day you expect to be pulled over by a policeman.
Sure.
And we got buzzed. We got heard the old.
The
what's it called?
Why
siren.
Are we struggling to remember this?
Well,
did he put the siren on or just the lights?
It was the siren.
Oh, really?
Hit the siren.
Oh, that's dramatic.
And I like had that instant, as you do as a 16 or so year old man, had that 17 year old man. I had that like, oh no.
Get rid of the crack cocaine.
Yeah,
put
exactly.
the sawed off shotgun under the seat. Yeah,
right,
I hear you.
All that stuff.
Yeah, classic.
And then, and you weren't as scared as I was, and I didn't quite understand. I thought, geez, what's going on here? And then a man walked up, and you were like, oh, hi, Dad.
And did I know it was him?
I think you must have looked in the rearview mirror and at some point knew it wasn't a big thing, because you look pretty calm.
I'd forgotten that, and I've never really, I haven't thought about it since, apparently.
Probably because it was a traumatic event for me and not at all for you.
Interesting. Yeah, when you're a boy, your dad being a cop is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And then when you're at that age, like grade 7, 8, 9, 10, like you're worried that it's going to make people hate you, and then it becomes kind of cool again, I guess.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well,
it was cool.
And to talk about my dad, I think one of the things that actually made it cool was that teenagers sort of maybe expect there to be animosity with authority figures, but my dad, you know, he had a lot of respect from teenagers and all, because he always treated them with respect and like as equals, and that goes a long way with any authority figure, a teacher, whatever. But if you're a cop and you are able to, you know, do what needs to be done but in a respectful way, it means a lot for young people who are used to being kind of walked all over.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think actually, because of who my dad is, it actually was a lot better than it would have been otherwise.
Yeah, I never got any sort of what would you say, typical bad cop vibes from him.
Yeah.
Never, like, there's that fear that there's a certain portion of the police force that are just, you know, people who want to be there for the power or something.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know what that actually is. I'm sure most cops are great, but
yeah.
We have that fear.
Or any number of things that makes a person not good at their job.
Yeah,
any
we have
job.
That fear as teenagers we're going to run into, like, one of the bad kinds. And your dad was always a totally nice guy. He never seemed like a scary guy at all.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm very proud of my dad, for sure. How are we doing for time there?
Well, we're definitely...
We might be. I don't know.
We're definitely over the hour
I don't know
mark.
Who's hosting the 8 o'clock show, but maybe they're going to be coming soon. I'm not
sure. Well, I tell you, as a host, I made a choice.
You did.
I want to share this with you. I looked up at the clock and I saw that we had a minute left.
Yeah.
I chose to ignore it.
Because you thought, there's nobody here breathing down our necks.
Yeah.
We're having a good conversation.
Yeah.
Let's roll with it.
And I don't know if that's wrong. I don't know if I'm going to get fined or slapped on the wrist or maybe slapped somewhere further up the
You'll
arm.
You'll get slapped.
I've been slapped on the wrist enough times that people are probably looking for a new vein.
Yeah. They'll probably slap you on the elbow.
Yeah. Which I can also take. I'm a rebel.
Yeah.
And my arm
Even
can take quite a bit
of
punishment.
Even though there's not a lot of skin there. it's, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but they slap you right on that elbow, the funny bone.
That's like Louis C.K. says, you could put a tack in there and I wouldn't feel it.
Yeah, it's hard. Nice. You got a nice hard elbow, Keith.
Thanks,
I'll say
man.
That. I'll
I appreciate
say that for
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting to be the guest for sure. I like it. I think that's one of the good things about doing the show is I think that it will make me a better guest in the future because I'm so comfortable. It's kind of like when you play baseball and you're in the on-deck circle.
Yeah.
You swing two or three bats, right? So when you go up there and you're swinging the one,
right.
You're thinking, this is easy. So I think for me, all this experience hosting a radio show means that if and when I have cause to be interviewed on somebody else's radio
show,
you're
going to be just fine.
It's going to be very easy for me to sit and be like, I don't have to twist knobbies.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Not only do I relate to what you're saying in terms of the warm-up, being a host is much harder.
Yeah.
I'm feeling something different and scary.
Which is
that I don't feel the reverse of that.
Okay.
I don't feel like
you're not picking
I don't
up all
feel
the bats.
Like this is more bats.
Good for you.
Well, I feel like it's a maybe a little more heavy, and obviously I'm not dealing with all the whistles. You still to some degree have that in the back of your mind. If something goes wrong here, if there's a fire, you will be the one to put it out.
Right.
So it's not.
Doing it in stages.
We're doing it in stages, and the first stage doesn't feel like too many bats.
Well, maybe this is all leading towards a place where you guest host an episode of Now We're Talking.
Oh, I don't know. That's a big. That's a.
I mean, not
an established.
I'm not saying that's the next step, but I'm saying that might be where this is leading.
So now I feel the heaviness of the bats.
Because you hosted this fill-in show by yourself for about 5 or 10 minutes when I wasn't even in here,
mm-hmm.
and now you're sitting in the captain's chair.
I am.
And really, all that's next is just understanding which knobbies to fiddle with. So
I guess
pretty straightforward.
Pretty doable. I'm not afraid of hosting. I am afraid of putting a black mark on our Now We're Talking brand.
Right. Well, let's just put a black mark on the fill-in brand then.
Sure. I could host a fill-in show.
Let's just mark it. Well, we can
do
that.
I think I just did.
I think that you just did do that.
I may have. Without realizing it, I may have just hosted a fill-in show.
We came in last week and did our first, I don't know what it was. It felt like it was our first proper fill-in show when we filled in to do the fun drive thing. We enjoyed that. We're here for
definitely our first two-hour one.
Yeah, we did it for a couple hours and it had a very specific purpose. And also there were a bunch of people here at the station, so we had a good time doing it, and I think that is what led tonight. I knew that this was happening immediately after ours, so we'd already be here. But yeah, maybe if we can, there's always fill-in shows to be done. Maybe we can do a Keith show, just do the Keith show.
Well, I tell you, man, I do like the captain's chair. I like the name of it.
Yes.
I like that it's a chair.
Yeah, and it's got a good
lumbar.
Yeah. No, it's actually built out of lumber, though.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's what that smell is.
Yeah, it's pine.
It's fresh
pine. And ironically, Chris Pine sits in the captain's chair in the Star Trek franchise.
That is
he?
Ironic.
Yeah.
I have actually changed my voice a little bit.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
Well, that's what you do in life. In different, you're always changing your voice.
I guess
you
so.
Don't talk the same to every person in every room and every chair.
Yeah. I think in this case, it's not that I'm on the radio and I'm aware that I should be talking differently. I think it's because I know I'm doing something new and my body's trying to control the endorphins and the adrenaline. And so I think what's happening is I'm talking a little bit slower and a little bit lower to regulate any sort of reactions.
Nice.
And that's an interesting thing to learn about yourself, that you have the capacity in a strange situation to regulate, to chill out, to not let it get on top of you too much.
Yeah, it's becoming more just aware of something that otherwise you take for granted.
Because I do have a tendency to be a little overly intellectual about things.
Yeah.
And that could trip you up. As we were discussing, there's a moment when you face that fear, whether you're going on stage or whatever your particular penchant is.
When you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. Oh, look, he's changed positions now.
I've changed positions because I'm going to mentor Keith on how to now end this show. So, Keith, what we're going
to... I don't know if I want that to happen.
Well,
I think maybe you should get out of here, sir.
I think it would be best.
I think we might want to leave Keith here all night.
I truly do. Keith, what I'd ask you to do is I'd ask you to put your hand on that mouse.
Yes, sir.
And then on that right screen over there in the top left box, there's a play button. Press that play button, top left.
We're not giving away too many secrets top here,
left.
Are we?
Go ahead and press the play button. Where you see the play button. There it is. You see the play button?
Oh, there it is.
There it is. The one that's the play button.
I've got it, everybody.
Click it once. There you go. Now what you're going to do is press these two buttons. 1, 2.
At the same time?
Yes. And then you're going to take the faders and you're going to push them both up to there.
Up to where?
All the way up to there. Goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Keith.
Bye, Keith.